to our website. Spread the news everywhere. God bless you and be a blessing.
You've been listening to Viewpoint with Chuck Crismeyer. Viewpoint is supported by the faithful gifts of our listeners. Let me urge you to become a partner with Chuck as a voice to the church declaring vision for the nation. Join us again next time on Viewpoint as we confront the issues of America's heart and home.
The story behind the story. Hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at, that illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality and not illusion or delusion that's going to determine what the future will bring. I need to remind you the views expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. They happen to be my views, and well, for the next hour, hopefully, they're going to be the views of one of our favorite guests, and that is Dr. Russell Blaylock. And Chris, as you know, Dr. Russell Blaylock is certainly one of the nation's leading experts on alternative health care. But tonight, I don't think we're going to be talking on alternative health care. Hi, Russell. How are we doing?
Hey, Stan. Doing just fine.
Well, we're certainly living in exciting times, aren't we?
Yeah, it's depressing exciting, but you're right. Things are happening so fast at just a dizzying speed. And as I tell people, that I talked to on radio programs, I said, that, you know, we're at the very end of the game. This is the last quarter. The game's almost over. And as you and I know, you know, long as we've lived and watched this all evolve, and you know, and if you're an aware person, you see the change, and you see that for a long period it was a very slow, incremental, a subtle thing. They denied most of what they were doing. I remember the days on national TV when you couldn't get a liberal to admit he was a liberal on TV for anything. He would deny it, you know, it's like calling a communist. So they were hiding even their liberalism back then. Well, now we see them proudly professing that not that they're liberals, but that they're far leftists. They'll even announce they're from the left. And, you know, to you and I, that's absolutely shocking that they proudly profess their collectivism, their socialism, and even their communism on these programs that the public are witnessing. And even more upsetting is the public's not even upset by it. They're not even affected when they hear these things.
Well, of course, Pete, a lot of people tend to get confused because basically the liberal says, look, we want to help people. We want to help the poor. We want to help the impoverished. We want to help the people who are being discriminated against. And certainly I think we all feel that way. But how do you go about doing it? You certainly don't do it by making an all-powerful federal government. You don't do it by destroying the moral fabric of our society. And basically, we need to help people, but we certainly need to help them at the local level. We need to help them through our churches, and certainly there's a place for our local government to provide for the poor. We used to have poor farms. Nobody ever starved in America, but an awful lot of people are hungry today. And when we finally lose our food stamps, we have over 48.8 million people on food stamps in America today. And how are they financing it? The government's having to borrow over $1 trillion a year for the food stamps and to subsidize Social Security and Medicare. And when those funds cut off, and they're going to cut off, then what's going to happen to our society? Well, Russell, what are we going to talk about tonight?
Well, I think we should just sort of summarize what you and I have witnessed over all these years and what the people we've read and respected have had to say about this transition over the last 70 years at least.
All right, I think that's very important because people have to understand how we got here. This is not the country I was born in. I was born in 1929. And basically, I went to school. We had God and prayer. We had morality in our school. I mean, certainly there might be one pregnant girl in a class of 1,000 every year. And look at it today. Almost over 40% of the children born in America are born out of wedlock.
Gold and silver is tremendously undervalued. Global demand vastly exceeds mine supply by more than 60% annually. There is little in the financial world more certain than a coming explosion in the prices of gold and silver. The U.S. dollar continues to lose value and respect as the world's reserve currency. Our nation faces challenges on many fronts, and a day doesn't pass without another economist bringing forth warnings of impending economic calamity. There has never been a better time than right now to acquire physical gold and silver. Discount Gold and Silver Trading was founded on the principles of truth and honesty. We believe in providing a quality product, quality service, and most importantly, competitive pricing. We provide all forms of precious metals, including American gold, silver, platinum, and rare investment and circulated coins. Silver bars, rounds, and 90% silver bags are on hand for the silver investor. Gold self-directed IRAs are available. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. Toll free, that's 1-800-375-4188.
You may have heard about the 90 essential nutrients or the Mighty 90 needed for good health. But with all the products out there, what exactly are they talking about? The Mighty 90 is 16 vitamins, 12 amino acids, 60 plant-derived minerals, and 2 essential fatty acids. So, now you know. But with all the products you see and hear advertised, what exactly do you buy to come up with the Mighty 90 and the right ratios to promote good health? Youngevity has made it easy with the Healthy Start Pack, which contains one canister of Beyond Tangy Tangerine Vitamin and Plant-Derived Mineral Complex, one bottle of Bone and Joint Enriching OsteoFX Plus, and one bottle of EFA Plus Essential Fatty Acids, all in the proper ratios to promote good health and vitality. For more information or to order, call 1-800-991-8730. That's 1-800-991-8730 and ask about business opportunities.
Disaster can strike at any time. That's why Americans spend billions on insurance policies. But what about investing into disaster preparedness supplies, especially food? After Hurricane Sandy, people waited weeks for help to arrive. Be prepared for anything with Mountain House freeze-dried foods, the finest in the industry, packed in heavy-duty double-enameled number 10 cans with over 99% of the oxygen removed for the longest shelf life of any product available. And the taste, absolutely delicious. Entrees, meats, vegetables, fruits, and desserts made in the USA. Just add hot water, wait 10 minutes, and serve. Save 25% on Mountain House number 10 cans, April 2nd through the 8th, with free shipping to the lower 48 states. Visit freezedryguy.com. That's freezedryguy.com. Or call 866-404-3663. 866-404-3663. Get 25% off April 2nd through the 8th. Act today. Don't miss out.
Russell was just saying all the dramatic changes we've seen. You know, basically, when they started the war on poverty, they said, look, we're going to do away with poverty, and in the future, there's not going to be any poverty in America. The federal government is going to eliminate poverty, and all we need is the power. And, of course, here we are 50 years later, and we have more poverty than we ever had before. The only reason we don't have it is because we have all the food stamps out there, and yet we still have a significant part of our population living in poverty. And then, of course, certainly they wanted to change the structure of our communities, and so they certainly got people out of their homes and put them into high-rises, and with that, we suddenly saw the beginning of the dissolution of the families, and we had a very low divorce rate initially, even among the very, very poor. But that's no longer the case. Today, within the black community, over 70% of all children are born out of wedlock, and the black family has been systematically destroyed, and the white family is certainly not far behind. Dr. Blaylock, go right ahead.
Well, and when we look further at what happened in those high rises, well, now they've turned them into jungle. They're ruled by the drug lords and the gangs, so that the decent families that are trapped in there, and they're just like prisoners in a gulag, they're afraid to go out of their apartments any time except during the full daytime. I saw one report on one of the national news networks many years ago, and one of the black women living in the high rise said she was so terrified to bring her garbage out that she just raised the window and threw it out of the window. Her children were being killed by gangs and drug lords in these neighborhoods. Well, all of this was bought to these poor people by the federal government and its grandiose idea that it was going to conquer poverty. Instead, they put these people in a gulag-like situation, destroyed their families, ended up losing their children to violence on the street and to drugs and imprisonment in mass numbers. It's unconscionable. Now, another report card we never got, and that was back many years ago in the 60s when we had all the excitement we were going to have sex education in the school. The problem was that the parents were not smart enough to teach their children about the dangers of sexually transmitted diseases and about how young girls get pregnant. And so the federal government was going to step in and ordered all the schools to establish sex education classes so that we could put an end to this terrible blight in American society. Well, the report card, 30 years later, what we see is that we have girls as young as 11 and 12 years old regularly having sex. We see the number of premarital pregnancies has just absolutely skyrocketed among every social class. Girls are living with guys out of wedlock in every community, at every social level, every income group, every race. Their families have been wiped out by this idea of sex education. Well, did it handle the sexually transmitted disease? No. We have more sexually transmitted disease than ever. It's estimated that at least a third of the girls are infected with HIV now, and it's spreading through the guys and multiple venereal diseases. All of this was based on this idea that if we could just teach them in the schools about it, we could end this problem of unwanted pregnancies and the spread of sexual disease, which
basically
is where the problem is now.
You actually meant HPV, didn't you, not HIV?
HPV. Yeah.
Okay, fine. HPV, human papillomavirus. Basically, the figures I've seen, about 110 million American people have a sexually transmitted disease today. We never saw this sort of thing before we had the government coming in with a sex education program so that we could certainly change people's attitude and inform them about the dangers of sexual activity outside of marriage. Go right ahead.
Well, and here's another report card for foreign policy. We have the brilliant idea that what we need to do is have the governments of South Africa turned over to the Africans and taken away from the white governments, for instance, in South Africa and Rhodesia. So what we do is we have massive demonstrations on the by the liberal left on our campuses, demanding that we divest all investments in South Africa and Rhodesia, and the federal government uses all of its enormous power to bring about a transfer of power to the black government. Well, what happened in Rhodesia? Well, Rhodesia was a very prosperous country, very peaceful for blacks and whites. But the report card, if we look at it, says, well, what is it like now? Well, the ruler of Rhodesia is a communist by the name of Mugabe. He has killed literally hundreds of thousands of people in Rhodesia, both white and black. The economy of the nation has completely collapsed. It's not safe to go anywhere. People are no longer trying to get into Rhodesia. They're doing everything to get out. What happened to South Africa? The very same thing. We were told that we would turn it over to the black government and that it would be fair and the country would be prosperous. Well, what we've seen is that now it's an economic basket case. We see violence is widespread. We see that they direct ANC gangs, which are communist youth gangs, to kill the white farmers, rape the wives, carry out murderous, atrocious acts across the nation. So we've destroyed both of those countries, and we've done that throughout black Africa by putting in and making sure that dictatorships that are communist, socialist, are put in power, and they rip the country apart. But there's no report card. All those people that were demonstrating in the streets for fairness and self-determination, none of them went back and said, well, how did it turn out? Did we do a good thing? No, they destroyed it both for the blacks and for the whites. What happened in our wars in Southeast Asia? Well, we were going to go on this this noble war against communism in Southeast Asia and stop the communist scourge. We spent 10 years there. We assassinated the president of South Vietnam. We ended up losing the entire region, not just Vietnam, South Vietnam, but Laos, Cambodia, to the most vicious communist mass murderers. What happened to the people in our Congress, our senators, who demanded that we surrender it to these communist dictators? Well, what was their response in this report card? Well, complete silence. Before, when it was all being engineered for collapse, they assured us there would be no bloodbath, that all this was a lot of scare stories by the right. So we have no report card, but then we see in Vietnam over a million people were slaughtered after the fall. We still have the bamboo gulag in Vietnam. In Laos, we've had hundreds of thousands murdered. In Cambodia, over 2.5 million people were mass murdered. And complete silence from the people who engineered this and assured us that the turning the government over to the communists would be a peaceful enterprise. Well, we're going to have a similar report card in the Middle East. We've done the same thing with intervention, spending billions and billions of dollars in wars, claiming that we're bringing peace and democracy and tranquility to these countries. Instead, we've destroyed them. We've destroyed their populations. We've had a president that now turns over power to some of the most vicious murderers in the Middle East, this Muslim Brotherhood. And what the public has never been told is that the Muslim Brotherhood grew out of an association between Adolf Hitler and a man by the name of Husseini, who was a radical in the Middle East, who was assassinating the presence of the peaceful countries in the Middle East so that he could bring about radical Islam with a Nazi face. He wanted it to be national socialist, patterned after Adolf Hitler. He traveled to Hitler's Germany, was welcomed by Hitler. Adolf Eichmann traveled to the Middle East to meet with him and help organize it. He was promised that once Hitler ruled the world, he would turn the Middle East over to Husseini, who would rule it as the National Socialist arm of the Middle East. Now, that's the history of the Muslim Brotherhood. So we have our country pouring billions of dollars supporting the Muslim Brotherhood, giving them high-tech weapons, using our drones to destroy the governments so that the Muslim Brotherhood can rule it. This whole Benghazi thing, it was all about the fact that the Navy SEALs that had been killed were sent there to find out who was shipping American arms to these radical Muslim groups, including the Muslim Brotherhood. They were close to finding out, and that's why they were killed. And that's why the Benghazi thing happened, was to silence people who were on the track of the fact that the American government under Obama was bringing about a Nazi Muslim Brotherhood transfer of power.
And of course, those weapons were being actually sent from Libya to Syria to finance the revolutionaries there. And this is the part of the story which most people are not going to get if you read the regular media, or you're not going to get the truth, because in America today, the media is tightly controlled. Our access to information is being manipulated. Our attention is focused on, all the gun shootings. That's why we have to have gun control. But the really important things that are going on in the world, are seldom, if ever, mentioned in the controlled media in America.
Hello, folks. This is Steve Day, the director of Home for Health Lifestyle Center. And over the past years, we have been blessed by witnessing folks plagued by chronic illnesses gain restoration and get back their health after coming through our live-in Christian health retreat. Today, sickness and disease is everywhere. Cancer, MS, diabetes, and chronic diseases plague us. But there is hope, and Home for Health can help. We're here to help you in your time of need, and we would encourage you to go to the Home for Health website, www.homeforhealth.net. That's www.homeforhealth.net. Or you can call us today at 888-642-9644. That's 888-642-9644. Call Home for Health today and start your healing journey now.
Home for Health, truly do what you said. Being free of diseases, real well. Home for Health.
Americans love pills. America's 40 million seniors will have consumed 1.6 trillion pills during their lifetime, not counting vitamin pills. This is health journalist Bill Sardi. Americans are living longer an additional 18 years after they reach age 65. How will senior Americans spend that time? You've got it. Taking more and more pills to treat more and more disease. We need a better approach. How about a pill that promotes health rather than treats disease? That's where a pill I formulated comes in. It's called Longevinix, and it's a well-tested combination of herbs and vitamins proven to trigger genes activated by a limited-calorie diet, even mimicking physical exercise. Longevinix promotes healthy vision, heart pumping, immune response, blood clotting, and even mood. Call 1-866-405-4000 to order today. Healthy aging. Longevinix. Get started before you grow old. Call now. 1-866-405-4000.
This is Pastor David Whitney with Institute on the Constitution. Our founders constructed this constitutional republic with the intent that citizens would function as the final check on the power of civil government. But that design would only work if the citizens understood our form of government as well as their responsibilities within that structure. That's why Institute on the Constitution has put together a host kit that enables anyone, anywhere, with any group of people to instruct them on our founding documents. We urge you to order a host kit. You can call us toll free at 866-730-9796. That's 866-730-9796. Or you can order it on the web. Go to our website, iotconline.com. The only way our republic will survive is if its citizens arm themselves with the knowledge of our founding fathers' original intent of the Constitution, the Declaration, and the Bill of Rights. Call us, 866-730-9796.
Do you enjoy cooking? Would you like to learn the culinary secret that Barbara uses to enhance the flavor of Dr. Stan's food? Who's Barbara? She's Dr. Stan's wife. And what's her secret? She uses the delicious spices produced by Old Westport Spice and Trading Company. After using and enjoying their products for almost 20 years, Dr. Stan and Barbara decided they should offer their favorites to you. If you would like to please your family and enhance the flavor of your food, call 800-544-8927. That's 800-544-8927. I suggest you call today. Once again, the telephone number is 800-544-8927. 800-544-8927.
Well, this is Dr. Stan, and Russell is simply saying that we never see the report card on all of these wonderful programs that have been introduced all throughout the world, but the programs don't work. And they don't work because, of course, the real agenda is to take us into a one-world government and to destroy the infrastructure of our society. And they're doing a very, very good job at that. The people who control our financial system are manipulating it, so the financial system of the United States is going to collapse one of these days. And when it does, of course, then there will be increasing impetus to take us into this one-world government. And they keep talking about, oh, we're going to have to have cuts in federal spending. Well, they don't actually cutting federal spending at all. All this talk about sequestration, it's basically cutting back on the rate of increase, not suddenly cutting back on actual spending. It's just that we're not going to increase as much as we would have. But all of these programs you hear, my goodness, are going to stop, you know, the Easter aid cut at the White House. Why? Well, we've got to cut spending, and they're going to have cuts in the Defense Department, but only in important projects, not in the unimportant projects. And we are constantly being manipulated by those who ever increasingly want to expand the power of government as we move from being free people to a situation where we're totally regulated and regimented and controlled and watched over from the cradle to the grave. Russell, pick up the story.
Well, you know, if you go back to Pavlov, most of us have heard of Pavlov and his dogs. Well, Pavlov was commissioned by Stalin to do a study on the effect of altering animals by stress, anything that could alter their way of thinking. And so Pavlov did this extensive experiment, wrote up a paper about 300 pages long, which went into the details, and Stalin read it from cover to cover. He put it on his desk, and he told Pavlov, you've saved the revolution. Now, Pavlov was not a communist. He didn't like the communists, but, of course, he was a victim of it. But what this report said was that when he found that if you took animals and you put them under multiple stresses and never allowed them to relax, you just keep stressing them every kind of way you can think of, eventually the animal will have a complete emotional disassociation, and then you can inject any behavior in the animal you want to. It can no longer resist. It will do things that it normally would never have done. Now, in having read a number of studies that were carried out in the Soviet Union by the KGB along this same thing, same line of mind control, they used this extensively on American POWs. And what they found is that if you did the same thing to American soldiers and gave them drugs at the same time, you could completely change their belief system. For instance, they could be violently anti-communist. But after you finish this program, they would be willing communists and be talking the communist jargon just like a loyal party member. So they could change entire belief systems. They could turn people against religion. They could do all sorts of things. Well, when you look at the American society, what you see is many of the same things are being done. People are inundated by the financial collapse. They're worried about being able to pay their mortgages and the car payments and their children's education. At the same time, they're being attacked by gangs and worried about crime and break-ins. They're worried about their children being lured into the drug world, their education system, their health. All of these things are bombarding every family and every person in America to the point they're like Pavlov's dogs. They're emotionally exhausted. They don't know where to turn. It's just complete confusion. And in this state of absolute chronic stress, you can start injecting ideas into their minds. And I see this all the time. I see people believing things that in the 1950s, people would have never even entertained for a moment. But we're seeing people accept ideas that are just so radical, so destructive of the family and of the culture. It's unbelievable, but it makes sense with this Pavlovian system. I think that's what's happening in our society.
Oh, I think that's absolutely right. In fact, anybody watching television will notice when you watch the news, if there's a shooting any place in America today, they bring it up. Why? Why, of course, do they talk about shooting here? Of course, it all has to do with suddenly focusing our attention on the danger of guns. I mean, you could have a shooting in Texas someplace. They're going to bring it out here. And in California, because they, of course, want us to convince us that guns are bad, and so they can take away our guns, so there'll be no resistance when this the tyranny is established in America. And it's coming, ladies and gentlemen, it's coming.
Hi, this is Joyce Riley, and most of you now know why so many people agree that Miracle 2 soap really is a miracle. Miracle 2 products are now being used by farmers and ranchers to increase their yield. Mechanics and machinists use it in their shops. Chiropractors and physicians are using Miracle 2, and the uses are simply too numerous to mention. Dr. Stan and the folks at Radio Liberty knew right away that the listeners would benefit tremendously by using Miracle 2 products. You can enjoy the benefits of Miracle 2 and help Radio Liberty continue to broadcast Dr. Stan's message by calling 800-544-8927 to order your Miracle 2 today. After you've tried Miracle 2 around the house, you'll probably do just what so many others have done, get rid of all those toxic cleaners and chemicals under your sink. Call Radio Liberty and order your Miracle 2 today, 800-544-8927, 800-544-8927. Dr. Stan Monteith and so many listeners know that Miracle 2 soap isn't just soap, it's a miracle.
For many decades, these great United States have had security and plenty because of the thousands of small farms which supply our every nutritional need. For generations, these dedicated men and women have supplied us with fresh food at reasonable cost. There is a chance that our food supply could be cut off in the event of a national emergency. You should carefully consider planting your own home garden. A seed bank from seedcatalog.com will make it almost easy. A seed bank contains every seed you'll need to plant a basic survival garden. All heirloom and all ready for you to create that special, necessary outdoor resource. Where can you find out more? Call 888-866-9132 or go to seedcatalog.com. Call 888-866-9132 right now and order seed for this year's garden. Seedcatalog.com.
So you finally decided to start taking a vitamin supplement. Those chewables and tablets are fine if you don't mind paying for something that is only absorbed about 4 to 6%. However, a liquid supplement can have a 90% absorption rate if you choose the right one. Youngevity offers a wide variety of liquid supplements with a 90% absorption rate or more. Beyond Tangy Tangerine may be the best one ever invented. It starts as a liquid that is freeze-dried like those instant coffees into a crystal. Then all you have to do is add a couple of scoops to water. No refrigeration, no fuss, no mess. Not only do you get a complete multiple vitamin, Beyond Tangy Tangerine also has minerals, and it tastes fantastic. You'll want to drink it all day long. So the next time you reach for a vitamin supplement, reach for Beyond Tangy Tangerine from Youngevity. For more information or to order, call 1-800-991-8730. That's 1-800-991-8730 and ask about business opportunities.
Well, this is Dr. Stan and Dr. Blaylock is simply talking about how they're able now electronically to control the mind. There was a Dr. Delgado who was certainly involved in doing scientific research on how to control the brain. And basically, he was eventually employed and he's working full-time for the Defense Department. And of course, everything he's doing is in secret because they don't want the American people to know. But he has admitted that now they're able to control people's minds from a distance. They're able to control people's minds from a distance. Why are we investing government money, Defense Department money, in controlling the minds of the people? Why, very simply, because that's what it's all about. They want to be able to control us, not the enemy, because there is certainly within the Defense Department a group of people who really want to be able to establish the power. And there is an establishment that is using our Defense Department so that they will be able to regulate everything that the people do and think and feel and believe. Go right ahead, Russell.
Very good summary. And Dr. Delgado wrote an interesting book many years ago, I think it came out in the 60s, called Physical Control of the Mind Toward a Psycho-Civilized World. And in this book, he goes through all of the technical things that he does with brain control and his probes and electrophysiology. But he makes the statement that the eventual quest is the absolute control of the human mind so that the person loses his most valuable gift, and that is his own personality, his own mind. And that's something that the totalitarians have always dreamed of. How can we control what people think? How can we make them think what we want them to think? So they're using a number of techniques. Now, the drugs, most people think that the widespread drugs in America is just about money and organized crime and these sort of things. But these drugs have a profound effect on developing brains. And it makes it very difficult for the people that are taking these drugs to control their own thought processes. And they're very susceptible to injection of various thoughts. This is one of the areas of research that the Soviets did, as well as our CIA and NSA and some of the secret departments carried out. DARPA does a lot in this area. And that is being able to use drugs to weaken people's will so that then you can inject these thoughts. And they even came out with a name for it. They called it strobonic injection. That you give them enough stress, you give them a little bit of drugs to lower their resistance, and then you start injecting your ideas into their brain, and they come to think that these ideas are their own. They don't see it as propaganda. They're convinced in their own mind that they thought of it themselves. I watch interviews with a lot of students on campuses, and as I hear them talking, I'm amazed that it's almost as if you're listening to a commentator on a national news network. Or something that's very popular and very politically correct. It's being spilled out of their mouth as accurately as it was injected into their minds. They're no longer capable of thinking clearly. They just repeat things that they were told. And this is widespread, and it's very frightening as I look at the young people who've lost the capacity for critical thinking. Of course, our schools are not designed for critical thinking. Barton does a lot of work on the history of the United States and the old textbooks. And he shows that back in the 1800s, the textbooks were all designed to teach critical thinking, to show the student how to think deeply and to question and understand. Now it's just rote memory. What the schools do is you're handed a list of things that you're to learn and memorize, and they're presented as the absolute truth, not to be questioned. And then here's another group of facts you're to remember and spill back to me exactly as it was told to you. And we're seeing more of this totalitarian teaching in our major universities, where students who ask questions are severely punished or even thrown out of the school. Because they dare ask a question or take offense to some of the attacks on Christianity, for instance, in school classrooms. You may have heard recently about the case where they wanted students to write Jesus' name on a slip of paper and put it on the floor and step on it. And a student refused, so they threw him out of the class and threatened to throw him out of the school. Fortunately, one of the legal groups took his case, and they filed suit against him, and now suddenly the school is backpedaling and apologizing. But you and I couldn't imagine such a thing happening in our youth. Any person who even suggested such a thing would be in the unemployment line. But these sort of things, these outrages, are happening every day. And what really concerns me is this, that there's so little outrage or resistance to it. Most people go along with it. For instance, in Austin, Texas, the school where they had the junior high school girls dress up in burqas and in Arab garb and read from the Quran. And this is happening in a number of schools and universities around the United States. We think, what would make students so docile as to do that, and parents so docile that they wouldn't even object. where is your outrage?
Where is that separation between church and state that we hear about? Oh, well, this is about education. No, it's not about education. There's an anti-Christian bias there. There's a conspiracy against Christianity. And it's perfectly all right to indoctrinate people in the Muslim faith, but don't you dare mention the name of God or of Jesus Christ. That's where we are in America today. Go ahead.
Yeah, and this double standard goes further, because a lot of what's being taught as Muslim faith is really socialism. You know, the experts in the Muslim revolution, this jihad that's going on, what they tell you is that these people that are leading these radical Muslim revolutions are not radical Muslim in their faith. They're Marxists. All the literature we find when we raid these different leaders of this violent attack, we find it filled with Marxist and Leninist literature. So it's a Marxist, Leninist, and a National Socialist in the case of the Muslim Brotherhood, but they're moving more toward Marxism, Leninism now, than it is Muslim. The Muslim faith is its cover, so that people don't see the real nature of it.
And you know, it's so interesting. In schools, when they teach about the Muslim faith, they never teach, of course, that it's all right for a husband, according to Sharia law, to beat his wife. It's all right. It's perfectly acceptable. And under Sharia law, for a husband to beat his wife, basically, if you leave the Muslim faith, why, you can be killed. I mean, they never tell the young people about this aspect of it. The jihad, the whole idea of jihad, is that the Muslims will eventually dominate the world. When they teach them in school about the Muslim faith, they simply point out the moral aspects of it without telling the truth behind this. And of course, it's total subjugation. And as a Muslim, you're not allowed to actually question anything. And in the Muslim faith, the political and the religious go hand in hand. And the religious is used to empower the political. Go right ahead.
Yeah, you know, one of the things that I've observed looking at this over the years is that most of this eruption of terrorism and the radical Muslims and these sort of things that are going on around the world, it has the purpose of creating a crisis. You remember the Iron Mountain Conference issue that came out some years ago? There was a secret document called the Iron Mountain Conference. Supposedly these people met and were trying to figure out how to convince the world to bring about world peace. And one of the ideas they had was that we need an enemy that's so enormous, it will require every country of the world to join together to fight this common enemy. They toyed with the idea of claiming that UFOs were attacking the world and everyone had to join forces in order to repel this attack. And they went through different scenarios. One was a huge world war. Well, if you look at what we have today with this fear of terrorism everywhere, you know, they're ghosts, they're shadows, they're in every community and every country and every place, and we all have to be on the high state of alert to look out for them. You know, what this does is it allows the government to increase its power, because what they say with the crisis of this enormity is that, well, the only way we can protect you is we're going to have to relax some of your liberties. We're going to have to take some of them. We need homeland security that can spy on you and read your emails and open your mail and have your neighbors spying on you and have drones flying over.
And don't forget Project Echelon, where they listen to all of your telephone calls. They've been doing it for 30 years, ladies and gentlemen. 30 years ago, they started this program back in the 1980s. Project Echelon, you can look it up on the internet. And incidentally, Dr. Blaylock's talking about the report from Iron Mountain. The report from Iron Mountain, you can look it up on the internet. One of the things they said, look, maybe we could scare the people about the environment. Maybe we could tell them that the environment was going to destroy civilization, so we'd have to really fight to maintain the environment. Of course, his point is so well made. Now the enemy is terrorism. Oh, the terrorists are going to take away our freedom. That's why we've got to have a dictatorship here in America and listen to all your telephone calls and have cameras installed every place and be able to listen to your conversations on your cell phone and have fusion centers so that we can correlate all of the dossiers on you and have drones flying overhead, track people by the GPS, and go right ahead.
Yeah, and you know, they even changed the constitutional law. Well, no longer are you protected in your personal papers and your private property. In past times up until the present, to get a court order, you had to name exactly what you were looking for in the domicile. You couldn't just go through a hunting expedition. But with the new Homeland Security, well, we don't have to do that any longer. We just get a general search order, and we can go through and tear the walls out of your house, tear up the floors, throw all your belongings on the floor and tear them to pieces, rip your books apart, until we find something that we can use against you. Well, this is what the Founding Fathers feared, and they wrote these amendments in the Constitution to protect you against unreasonable searches and seizures, because they knew what that meant. They had lived through it in England, and they knew they lived through it in the colonies. They knew exactly what that meant. Yet now, because we have the fear of this shadow enemy that's difficult to point out, but he's there, just trust us, now we need this power. We need to be able to break in homes and tear up your house and destroy it and tear the doors down. And then we find nothing, and we don't pay for the damage we did. I've heard of cases where they broke in and took a person's medicine, their heart medicines, and emptied the bottles on the floor and crushed them, shot the pets and killed them. All sorts of things are outrageous that are going on. They're setting up roadblocks within the United States by the Border Patrol, asking people for papers and want to search their cars and identify themselves and show proof to who they are within the United States. Well, that's the internal passport system. All dictatorships do that. So we're seeing some very frightening events take place, but so much of the public is just willing to do it, and their response is almost always the same. Well, I'll give up my liberty if I can be safe. Of course, this is exactly what they want. They want you in a state of fear so that you'll willingly give up your liberty, your personal freedom, for the protection of the government. You know, there's a story about Stalin. Stalin had some of his underlings gathered around him, and he was sitting in a chair, and he had a chicken, and he took the chicken, and he starts ripping its feathers out. Of course, the chicken was screaming and clucking and in terrible pain, and he ripped all the feathers out and he throws it back on the floor, and the chicken came over and nudged up against his leg for protection, and he said, "You see, no matter how much pain I induce in this chicken, it comes to me for protection." He said, "That's what we must do in our country." And of course, this is the lesson of the totalitarian, is that he makes you so uncomfortable, so terrified, so fearful, that you run to the very person who's brought this about for your protection. And of course, this is just the opposite of what the American enterprise was all about. We took care of ourselves. We took care of our neighbors. We took care of our own families. And we only used the police power when we were unable to do these things. But, you know, what we're witnessing in this country is one of the most frightening things that I've ever dreamed of. I knew this day was coming. But as I told my wife, I said, you know, to actually see it taking place. I've spent my adult life reading all the literature of the Soviet Union, Cambodia, Southeast Asia, China, Latin America, dictatorships, Cuba. I've studied all of this intensely for at least 40 years, and so I know how these systems work. I know what the terminology is. I know the methodology, and I'm seeing all of it replayed. The problem is the vast majority of Americans have never read a single word about the Soviet fall, the Soviet dictatorship, China, Cuba. They just barely know anything about it. And so they don't recognize the signs when they see it. You know, for instance, it's terrifying to me that we're now openly calling for neighbors to spy on neighbors. We're having schools where the children are told to write essays on what goes on in the home. Do your parents own guns? How many do they own? Do your parents ever talk against the government? State troopers are stopping cars because they have stickers about protecting the Constitution, and that's reason to make them stop on the roadside and search their cars, treat them roughly. All of these things are things that happened in all of these countries that went through this totalitarian horror show, and people just are not recognizing what's happening.
And basically, of course, it's all the neighbor protecting us from the wicked terrorists. They have a system of tens of thousands of informants. Your best friend could very well be an FBI informant, telling them everything that you say.
Hello, folks. This is Steve Day, the director of Home for Health Lifestyle Center. And over the past years, we have been blessed by witnessing folks plagued by chronic illnesses gain restoration and get back their health after coming through our live-in Christian health retreat. Today, sickness and disease is everywhere. Cancer, MS, diabetes, and chronic diseases plague us. But there is hope, and Home for Health can help. We're here to help you in your time of need, and we would encourage you to go to the Home for Health website, www.homeforhealth.net. That's www.homeforhealth.net. Or you can call us today at 888-642-9644. That's 888-642-9644. Call Home for Health today and start your healing journey now.
Home for Health, truly do unto yourself. Being free of disease is real well. Home for Health.
There is a disturbing trend here in these United States that is progressing unnoticed and without constraint. From the Supreme Court to the smallest county seat, we have seen the judiciary make decisions which are more legislative than interpretive. Our founding fathers designed our three-part governmental system to have checks and balances upon each other. Each branch of the government has now taken upon itself power that was never intended for it to have. The judicial branch in particular needs reform. We must pass laws which bring a renewed sense of justice to our nation's court system. I urge you to go to judicialreformnow.com. That's judicialreformnow.com. There you can find out what you can do to stem the tide of judicial malpractice. judicialreformnow.com.
Most men, when they reach 60 years of age, have urinary tract problems. They have to urinate frequently during the day, and they have to get up several times every night. What's the solution? Many men use a herbal product called Prostate Support. It contains saw palmetto and stinging thistle. It's available from Radio Liberty. Dr. Stan takes Prostate Support and recommends it. And thousands of men take Prostate Support every day because it relieves their urinary tract symptoms. If you would like to try Prostate Support, call 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-544-8927. Once again, the telephone number for Prostate Support is 800-544-8927. And I suggest you call today.
Well, this is Dr. Russell Blaylock, and this is going to be a Tape of the Month Club, a selection, and we'll be sending this out to all the people who belong to the Radio Liberty family of supporters. And if you do not belong to the Radio Liberty family, you'd like to get a copy of the tape, you can call our 800 number, 1-800-544-8927. But if you don't, certainly if you would like to join the Radio Liberty family, this is how we're able to maintain our network of over 50 outlets every single week. We're all across America. People are listening and learning. In fact, I had a call from Israel this morning, of all places, from one of our friends there. And this woman told me, she said, I am amazed at how many people are listening to your programs here in Israel. I mean, they're listening. They're Orthodox Jews who are listening to your program. Other Christians here living in Israel listen to your programs. All sorts of people. You'd be amazed at how many emails I get from your listeners here. And this woman lives in Jerusalem. Well, you know, this certainly is very, very encouraging to me to know that people in other countries are listening on a regular basis. We know we have listeners in other countries throughout the world. This is the first time I'd heard that we had a significant listening audience in Israel. But if you join the Radio Liberty family, you become part of our effort to educate people about what's going on and about the spiritual nature of what's going on today. So if you'd like to join the Radio Liberty family, our telephone number is 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. Now, how do we understand what's going on? How do we understand anything so diabolical as the want to be able to control the minds of our people and turn them against God? Well, basically, you need to read my book, Brotherhood of Darkness. That's Brotherhood of Darkness because we will give you the quotations from the people who are part and parcel of the Brotherhood and the secret societies which dominate our society today. And then, of course, if you'd like more information on this, we have a great 3 DVD set. You can get them individually or together. Well, the first is called The Secret Mysteries of America's Beginning. The Secret Mysteries of America's Beginning. And certainly the second DVD in the series is called Riddles in Stone. It takes you to Washington, D.C., and it points out that almost all of the major city architecture there and the statues have an occult foundation. And then, of course, in the first of the three series on this, The Secret Mysteries of America's Beginning, we point out that when America was founded, there was a strong Christian component among the founding fathers, but there were a few of them, of course, who were part of secret societies and the occult movement, who wanted to use the United States to one day become the major power in the world, and to use the financial and military power of the United States to bring about a one-world government. And that's exactly what they did. If you go back to the original seal, the Great Seal of the United States, established about 1789, on the front of the Great Seal was a bird. It was a phoenix. Now, of course, the phoenix was the bird that was killed, and then it certainly was supernaturally. It was burned and then came back to life again. And that is, of course, what America was to be. It was to be the rebirth of this movement to become a world government. Now, through the years, they gradually changed it from a phoenix bird to an eagle. And that's what you see on the back of the Great Seal of the United States today. And that's what you see on the front of the Great Seal of the United States. But hidden on the back of the Great Seal was the occult emblem of the ancient mystery religions, a pyramid capped by the all-seeing eye, and it was hidden on the back of the Great Seal of the United States from 1789 until 1935, when it was put on the back of the dollar bill. And most Americans have no idea that's what that emblem is. It is the emblem of the ancient mystery religions, more modern, currently of the Masonic movement, but they're all part and parcel of the same thing, a movement to bring about a one-world government under a different God. Our telephone number is 1-800-544-8927. That 3 DVD set, get them individually. I'd suggest you get the first one and the second one. Get all three if you'd like. Riddles in Stone, and then, of course, The Secret Mystery of America's Beginning. We'll be back in just a moment. We've got a great guest for the next hour. And this is Dr. Stan saying, please pray for America, but pray for Radio Liberty, our provision and our protection.
Beside her and guide her through the
Well, this is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story, hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at, that illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization and Christian civilization, it's going to be reality and not illusion or delusion that's going to determine what the future will bring. I need to remind you the views expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. They happen to be my views, and well, for the next hour, they're going to be the views of our good friend Cheryl Hancock, who lives in Jerusalem. She is a reporter, and she reports regularly to Radio Liberty and other news sources. She writes certainly a blog on a regular basis to keep people across America, indeed across the world, up on exactly what's happening as far as the situation in Jerusalem. But things are changing there. This is a dangerous, increasingly dangerous region. Certainly the war in Syria, which, and you've ever been on the Golan Heights, certainly you'll realize you can stand on the Golan Heights and you can actually see the city of Damascus from there. And basically the Golan Heights are on the east side of the shore of the Sea of Galilee. So basically, Cheryl, of course, keeps us apparent, and hopefully our producer will transfer Cheryl to us so we can talk to her about what's going on over there. We do know in the past why they've been suddenly getting gas masks for all of the people there in Jerusalem. Very concerned about the very real possibility of a chemical weapons attack. As you know, of course, Syria has large supplies of chemical weapons. They're one of the largest supplies of chemical weapons anywhere in the world. Of course, nobody ever asked where did Syria get their chemical weapons. Well, they got them from Saddam Hussein back in about 2002. And where does Saddam Hussein get them? Why, he got them from the United States. We transferred the chemical weapons to Saddam in 1980 so we could use them on the Kurds and on the Iranians, but nobody ever talks about that sort of thing. And basically, of course, but fortunately, you have access to the internet today, and you can check out all the things that I'm telling you. There's a lot of disinformation, a lot of lies on the internet, but there's a lot of truth up there, too. And when you learn, you know, who you can trust, sometimes Wikipedia is great, sometimes Wikipedia is totally fallacious, but learn who you can trust, learn the sources, check them out, and you'll find what we tell you is true. Cheryl Hancock, thank you very much for being with us.
Well, it's nice to be with you. Good morning. Good evening.
Good morning. I think it's about 7 o'clock over there in Jerusalem, isn't it?
Yeah, 7 o'clock Friday morning.
Okay, yeah. Fine. Well, tell us what's going on. What's happening? Are the people there concerned about Syria? Is there talk about possibly Israel having to invade Syria to get hold of those chemical weapons? What about the threat of a chemical attack on Israel? We hear that there'd been some shelling of Israel from Syria and Syria had retaliated. Bring us up to date on what's going on.
Yes, yeah, Syria is one of the major topics over here right now. Actually, some of the Syrians have come through the border, and Israel set up a field hospital on the Golan Heights, and actually some rockets have come through under the Golan Heights. Syrians have fired at Israeli troops, but still, Israel set up a field hospital, and they're treating wounded that are coming through the fence, and they're needing help. So they're looking at it as a humanitarian aid that they're doing for the people. And some of them they've already fixed up. They put them in hospitals in Israel, and they sent them back to Syria. And we're talking about the rebel forces that are fighting against Assad. Israel has been doing that. Now, they're expecting a lot more to come through the border. And what's unfortunate is the UN, I think you heard about the 21 Filipino UN troops that were kidnapped. But because of that, the UN has been pulling its troops out from the buffer zone between Israel and Syria. And as they do that, there is no buffer, and Israel is going to have to protect itself. So many troops are leaving. Israel's going to be on its own trying to protect itself. And both Syrians, both the rebels and the regime of Assad, they don't like Israel. They're both anti-Israel. They're both anti-Jewish. And so Israel, it's amazing that they're helping these people, even though they're so-called enemies. They call Israel the enemy, but they're afraid more and more are going to be coming in, and Israel is going to take care of them, but they're going to make sure that there's no fighting. As soon as a rocket came over the other day, they fired back into Syria to stop. They shot the target that was shooting at them, so they stopped that fighting from coming in. But they've warned Syrians, be careful, we're not going to play around with this. You're right about the chemical weapons. They believe chemical weapons have been used already. It hasn't been proven. But Israel is so afraid that if the chemical weapons get into the hands of the rebels, it's going to be all over for Israel, because they can use those weapons against Israel, and they will. Some of the chemical weapons have gotten, they believe, over to Hezbollah, and the UN is allowing this to happen. Today a report came out just this morning. I checked the internet before I got on the air, and the UN has not reported some of the weapons that have gone over to Hezbollah. So it's starting to come out that weapons are getting to people that are really against Israel, and Israel's really on alert up there on the Golan Heights.
Well, is Israel considering, as far as you can tell from what you're reading there, is Israel considering an invasion of Syria to try to get hold of those chemical weapons? Or is America considering this? Or we've even heard that Britain and France were considering, NATO was considering sending troops over there to try to stop the spread of chemical weapons. What do you hear there?
Yeah, what we're hearing is that the U.S. has sent troops over there, and they are working alongside with Jordan. They're Jordanian soldiers now, and they're training and equipping units from Syria, and they're equipping them so they can fight against the Assad regime. But also they're creating a buffer zone, the U.S. and Jordan, creating a buffer zone to keep the fighting from spreading into Jordan. So, yes, there are U.S. troops up there. There's troops from other countries that are also on the border areas. Some have actually gone into Damascus, and actually the Lebanese, the Shiite terror, they call it Shiite terror militia from Hezbollah, they are actually going in to Damascus, and they are stationed around Damascus. The Revolutionary Guard, which is actually a very, like a Shiite group, is also in Damascus helping the regime. So you've got Shiites, you got Hezbollah, you got the Shiites helping the regime. You've got U.S., you've got Jordanian troops, and some EU troops, and some UN troops that are helping with the rebels. And again, both of these groups are against Israel. So I have not heard of anything about Israel going in to do anything yet. That could be happening, though, because Israel is not letting known everything that they're doing. And I'm pretty sure, I talked to a friend of mine that has something to do with this, and they said that they believe that troops are going in.
Hold that thought. Hold the thought. We'll be right back in a moment. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and Sarah was just simply saying that I said the United States has troops in Jordan that are actively training the rebels. Now, you're not going to read about this in the United States, but this is, we've known this for a long time. And we've said this repeatedly on our programs. We have the documentation of it, but certainly you're not going to hear this. That we have our special forces troops in Jordan today training the terrorists that are over there, killing it. They've killed over 70,000 innocent civilians. Certainly 750,000 have fled into other countries. A couple of million Syrians have lost their homes. They're living in camps in Syria. It is a chaotic situation. Certainly Cheryl was just saying that she's talked to some people that seem to know, and there is talk about Israel perhaps having to go into Syria to get hold of those chemical weapons. Now, there's a fear that some of those chemical weapons have gotten to Hezbollah. The Hezbollah has not used them. But the United Nations is allowing this. This certainly is a seething cauldron waiting to explode at any moment, but the average American has very little concept. We are not concerned about the slaughter of some 70,000 innocent civilians, many of them killed by the troops, who have been trained by the American Special Forces. We have units in both Jordan and in Turkey training the rebels who are killing the civilians over there. Now, what do we hear about Damascus? Certainly, the prophecies in Isaiah 17, they talk about the destruction of Damascus. We've seen some pictures of Damascus, and the pictures they show us show massive destruction. But what is really happening in Damascus? Is Damascus certainly still intact as a city, or is it pretty chaotic there as far as you can tell?
Yes, it's actually chaotic over there. There was a bomb that hit the university. So there, I got a report that there's a large number of troops belonging to the Lebanese Shiite Terror Militia and Hezbollah and the Revolutionary Guard are deployed in and around Damascus. So they're fighting against each other in Damascus. And as you said in the word, it talks about the destruction of Damascus. The fighting is going on there, and that, of course, is the capital. That's the headquarters of the regime. Now, we also got a report, the International Center for the Study of Radicalization from the London College said on Tuesday that as many as 600 European Muslims have traveled to Syria to join the fight against Assad. So they're joining the rebel fighters, and now you got to remember some of those rebel fighters are really bad terrorist groups that normally would fight against America, would fight against Israel, and also some of the pilots that are loyal to the regime of Assad, they violated the airspace of Lebanon and fired missiles on the grounds in Lebanon. So they're getting so many countries around them involved. It's spreading. It's really a hotbed over there, but you're right. Damascus is the center, and we are watching Damascus very closely, what's happening over there.
And basically, it's so hard to find out what's really going on in Syria, but it's just this could explode, and the whole thing could just break down into total chaos at any time. American tax dollars at work. Our telephone number, if you have a question or comment for Cheryl, who's over living in Jerusalem at the present time, my telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. Now, what about life in Israel? Is it pretty stable?
Life in Israel seems to be stable on the outside. Yes, there's a lot of change going on because we have a new government formed, and the big change in the government is that the Shah's party is out. The Shah's party is the ultra-Orthodox party. And a lot of people don't like it. A lot of people do like it. They want to get the Jewish people that were yeshiva students, and that's what they would do, is study Torah all their life. They wouldn't join the army, and they would be getting paid stipends from the government. Now they're going to have to join service. And so this is a big change. One of the guys, Bennett, who is now a new Knesset member, is very against giving land to the Palestinians. He said, we've given land before, and if we give more land, they will just continue to use the rockets against us. Every time that Israel's tried to trade land for peace, they've gotten more rockets. So it's stable right now on the ground, but we feel the rumbling under the ground because things are going to start changing over here. And we have John Kerry coming and some of the U.S. senators that have already arrived, and the whole purpose of John Kerry is talk about the peace process with the Palestinians and is going to try to get Israel to make more concessions. And most people know that if they make more concessions, Israel is hard to defend as it is, the security of Israel and its people. So the government does not want to give up any more land. It would be a bad thing for Israel to do that.
And I think they've made a terrible mistake, a land for peace, because they're not going to get peace. The people who lead the Palestinians, not necessarily the average Palestinian, but the people who live the Palestinians, do not want peace. They are using, certainly, this whole war situation to increase their power. They're pointing to the Israelis as the enemy. And basically, of course, then engendering hatred of the Israelis and the leaders of the Palestinians, who we are backing, incidentally, with massive amounts of money, have no intention of having peace with Israel. Well, what do you say about Egypt? What do you hear about Egypt? Because basically, we replaced the government of Mubarak over there with his peace, but Israel had been for 20 years or more. We overthrew that government, and of course, they'll never tell the American people that it was the CIA that was behind it, but it was. We got rid of Mubarak. Certainly, we installed a man named Morsi from the Muslim Brotherhood. The radical Muslims are now in total working control in Egypt. They're certainly discriminating fighting against the Christians. They're driving the Christians out. The Muslims who don't want to go along with it are certainly coming under tremendous pressure. Many of them, we understand there's a lot of violence over there. They have a totalitarian government. We've replaced a totalitarian secular government with a totalitarian Muslim Brotherhood, which is much more certainly oppressive, and certainly the financial situation, the economy, my understanding, is that Egypt is just almost in total chaos. In fact, I don't even know how the tourist industry is doing over there. That's always been a major source of economy. But what do you hear from Egypt?
Yeah, the Morsi, who took over from Mubarak, is actually worse than Mubarak. He is Muslim Brotherhood. Muslim Brotherhood believes that there should be Sharia law imposed not only in their countries, but all over the world. And the Muslim Brotherhood is all over the world. They're trying to influence. There was just an article yesterday where they're trying to influence Qatar and different Arab nations with Sharia law. They want to, you know, want to impose Sharia law. Now, Morsi is not listening to the people. He's like a dictator, and the people are rioting against him. They don't want him in office. They don't want what they were demonstrating for democracy. And we have to understand, as people that come from a democracy, I come from America, democracy as we know it is not what they want. They want to be able to vote for their leader and have somebody that they're happy with in government. But they still want the Muslim law. They want to follow the Muslim traditions, but they don't want what Morsi has to give them. Morsi wants to take over complete control. He wants to be the one to sign all the laws and not have the government to work with him. He would have the final say, and people are against that. So Egypt is falling apart. The Christians are being raped. They're being killed. They're just being run over in Egypt. I had a friend that was just in Egypt recently, and they said the people are so afraid, and we're talking about Coptic Christians, and the Coptic Christians are a huge number over there, but their authority has gone down, and the people are running over them. The Muslims are running over them. They do not want the Christians there. When it comes down to Sharia law and it comes down to what the Muslims believe, they don't want the Christians to have their way. They want to rule over the Christians. They want Allah to rule the world. They want the Sharia law, but they don't like Morsi. Morsi says, as far as the peace treaty goes, oh, yes, we'll have peace treaty with Israel, but we're going to change a few things. What things is he going to change? Israel doesn't trust him. Egypt is supposed to be guarding the borders down in the Sinai, and people are getting through. Terrorist groups are getting through and bringing weapons into the Gaza Strip, and Israel is afraid that they're the next step because Egypt is not guarding that border. Israel gave them authority to guard the border, and they're not doing their job there. So Egypt is a bad border, and people are afraid. Actually, they put the Iron Dome down in Eilat just yesterday, and that's to see if rockets come in so they can stop rockets from coming in to southern Israel. So it's getting dangerous on just about every border that Israel has. Yep.
We have Michael calling from Flint, Michigan. Our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or 464-8295. Michael, do you have a question for our guest?
Yeah. What would be a good place if I was going to move over there to live where I could live? You know, in Israel, I don't want to get in the middle of a bunch of stuff, but I'm thinking maybe I might want to move over there.
Okay, fine. Well, where would be a good place? If Michael works in Flint, Michigan, and he's thinking of moving to Israel. If he was going to move to Israel, where would he move to?
Well, you know, I'm in Israel, and I'm right outside of Jerusalem. I just love living over here. And what you want to do is find out where the problematic areas are and stay away from them, where the restrictions are and stay away from them. As we know, part of the so-called West Bank is there's a lot of problems. As a matter of fact, I was driving home the other day, 2 days ago, and there happened to be riots. As I was driving down the road, it took me to get to my place about from 15 minutes away. It took me 2 hours because the roads were blocked. Palestinians were throwing rocks at the cars on the road. They threw rocks so badly, boulders they were throwing, that one truck overturned and was down a ravine. So the police and the soldiers had to close the road. I couldn't get into my area. I had to go the long way around. Thank God I could make it in there. But there's a lot of problems going on in different areas. The Galilee is nice. It depends on what you like. You know, the weather in the Galilee is very hot and humid. In the south, it's dry and nice. There are many nice places to move to in Israel, really.
Well, so basically, the Galilee is certainly my favorite place up there. We've been there a number of times on our various trips. But basically, Michael, anyway, any other questions you had for Cheryl?
Yeah, who was given the land for peace? Because I got 3,000 acres out here in Topeka, and I'll trade them that for some peace. How about that?
Okay, okay, fine, Michael.
That would be helpful.
Thanks very much for calling. Again, our telephone number, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 464-8295. Okay, well, certainly, though, basically, what about tourism? Is tourism still holding up fairly well, Cheryl?
Oh, actually, tourism is skyrocketing over here. People are coming in, millions of Christians have come in, millions of Jewish people have come in for Passover. As you know, we just finished Passover and Easter week, and they had more tourists here than ever before. The old city was crowded with buses. People are not afraid to come to Israel, and, of course, the tour guides, the bus drivers are usually Arab, and the tour guides are Jewish. They work together. They make sure wherever they take the people that it's safe. They call ahead. They may change the schedule a little bit. But so many people were in Jerusalem for the Easter week, for the Passover week. Tourism is not a problem, and it's growing. As a matter of fact, the Ministry of Tourism is opening new sites, and there's a site down at the Jordan River where the Jordan River comes into the Sea of Galilee. And they have finally opened that up, and they really believe this is where John the Baptist was baptizing the people because he lived down in the desert, being probably an Essene, and would come up to baptize the people. They believe that's where Jesus was baptized. You can go down the road and go to that Jordan River. You look across the river, and you see people being baptized in Jordan. And you can actually yell at them and say hello. They can see you. You can talk to them, but you see the Jordanian guards on the other side of the river. And on the Israel side, it's very safe. Every place I go, and I've had friends here recently, every place we went, they loved it. They felt safe. They felt no problems. You could stay away from the problematic areas. We do listen to the news a lot. But the Ministry of Tourism is just making it so possible for people to come over and see Israel. And I believe everyone should come at least once in their lifetime.
Oh, we've been there 6 times, Barbara and I. We just love it. But I'm afraid we haven't been there in many years since we started doing radio. It's hard to do 5 hours of talk radio a day while you're traveling in Israel. Under any circumstances, certainly. Basically, of course, we know that people have come there. And certainly, is there an increase in the immigration? In other words, are Jewish people from around the world still moving to Israel? We've actually heard that some people leaving the United States, comfortable jobs, to go over there to the uncertain area because they somehow feel that God is directing them as Jews to go to the Holy Land. Do you hear this happening?
Oh, yes. Actually, I've talked to people who've come over here and made Aliyah recently. Made Aliyah means going up, and that means immigrating to Israel. I've talked to soldiers, young kids who've left their families in America or in England or in Canada and have come to join the army to fight along their Jewish brothers and sisters. And then you see the families coming from Ethiopia, from Russia, they're continuing to come. They're coming from the West, which is very unusual because the prices are very high over here, especially as we talked about for gasoline. It's getting close to $9 a gallon. Yet people are dropping their lives over in the West, their comfortable lives, and coming to Israel. And I asked, do you regret coming here? Do you want to go back? And most of them say, no, we love it here. We love living in reality because when you come to Israel, you definitely live in reality. You see what's going on here in the Middle East, around you, and it says Israel is the center of the world. I really believe that it is, and all eyes will be turned to Israel. You're living in prophetic times, biblically prophetic times. We're watching the Bible unfold here, and I believe some of the people, the Jewish people, are coming here because they feel that it is the end times, and they need to be here to stand with their people. They don't feel safe in some countries. They're being attacked by Muslims in some countries and being run out, so they feel like this is the place where they will be the safest.
Hold that thought. Hold the thought. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and certainly Cheryl is talking about what's going on over in Israel there, and certainly the tremendous terrorism. They're having more tourism than ever before, and certainly they just got over Passover and Easter week, and certainly all sorts of tourists coming from the West there, and basically as far as the tourist is concerned, well, the tourists are kept very, very safe. Ordinarily, you'll have a Palestinian bus driver, you'll have a Jewish guy. They work together, and their job is to protect the tourists, and they do a good job of it. Now, what Cheryl is pointing out is that people are still immigrating to Israel. They're coming from Ethiopia. They're coming from Russia. A lot are coming from America. They're Jewish families that somehow feel that they're going to be safer in Israel. And, of course, Cheryl points out what we've pointed out many times. We are living in prophetic times. And for the prophetic times, Israel is really the center of the world. Things are happening there. Lots of things are happening there. Although there's certainly war and a certain amount of uncertainty, while the Israeli people are there, they're dedicated, this is their country, and they're going to stay there, despite the fact that there is an organized effort certainly to drive them out of there. And certainly this is what's being preached to many of the Arabs, the Muslims, the Muslim Brotherhood. We've got to drive Israel out. And the Israelis are intent upon staying. And even some Americans coming, young people coming from America, to join the Israeli army so they can fight with their fellow Jews to preserve Israel. Our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or here in the Central Coast of California at 464-8295 if you have a question or comment for Cheryl. And certainly, now, Cheryl, have they been passing the gas masks out? Do most of the people over there have gas masks? I know you have one, don't you?
Yes, I do. And a lot of people have older ones, and they're returning them or replacing them with the newer gas masks, with the new canisters to fight against the chemicals that that are new and that are going to be, that Israel believes will be sent over here at some point. People are actually getting things ready for their bomb shelter, water and food. And it's always a good idea to be ready for any kind of emergency, to have a flashlight or radio. We all have safe rooms, whether it be in the apartment building. I have a safe room inside my house, and I know how much air is in that room, how long I can stay in there. And so I actually have a couple gas masks, so if I have a guest, they have one also. People are prepared over here for what may be coming up. And as they know, and most of them know the Bible, know the prophecies, and they know that there will be war at some point, which is so amazing as people come and make Aliyah. I talked to some people that came over for Obama when he came a week ago or so. He came right before Passover, and I was at the airport for the welcoming committee, and I talked with, he had an entourage of 600 people from America. Some of these people were Jewish, some of the journalists, and I was able to talk to them, and they talked about moving over here, though they know what the problems are. As I listened to Obama at the welcoming committee, he talked some really wonderful words about how peace is possible in the Middle East, that all people should want peace. When he was done talking, they played the national anthem. It was beautiful. They played the national anthem for America. They played the national anthem for Israel. It was a wonderful ceremony. Israel went all out. They made thousands of American flags and lined the streets. They made cutouts of Obama, life-size cutouts, and lined those across the streets, and people were taking their picture with him. They gave Obama gifts and his family gifts. It was just a wonderful thing how Israel treated Obama. I went to the speeches. I went to another speech another night where he spoke to university students. He said he wanted to come and talk to the people of Israel. And though he didn't talk to the new appointed Israeli government, it was very strange for everyone. And they wanted to see, what does he have to say to us as people? He invited 1,000 university students, and I went to the convention center to hear the speech. I had a very good seat. I was right on the balcony above Obama, and I could see all the people. Well, what he was bringing up was the case that he said, as a politician, I can assure you that they will not move and take risks unless the people push them to take risks. And people gave him a standing ovation. Obama said that Israel needs to work on the settlement activity because it's counterproductive to peace, and they stood up and they applauded him. His speech sounded good. The peace sounded good. But when you come down back to reality, to the ground, there are people that don't want to have peace, and it will never work. So he was trying to push the people of Israel, push the government into taking risks. What risk was he talking about? He was talking about giving up more land so that we could have peace. Well, every time Israel's given up land, they've gotten more rockets. It's not working. Israel needs to, the government needs to take care of the people. The government needs to take care of the land of Israel. There won't be anything left to take care of if they keep giving more and more land away.
And I think that's absolutely true. Our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. 1-888-24-LIBERTY. And basically, America's trying to force Israel into giving up more land. And they've given up most of the land that they've won in the 67 and 73 wars. It's accomplished absolutely nothing. So why are we asking to do things we know aren't going to work? Give us a call if you have a question.
While a storm cloud gathers far across the sea, let us swear allegiance to a land that's free. Let us all be grateful for a land so
This is Dr. Stan back here. Our guest is Cheryl Hancock. Our telephone number, if you'd like to talk to Cheryl, have a question about Israel, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or 464-8295. But before we go on, Cheryl, would you like to tell our listeners how they can get in touch with you? Cheryl's over there, certainly in Israel, and she certainly is our representative over there. She does a great job, keeps us abreast of what's going on, and information you're not going to get elsewhere. How can people get in touch with you if they'd like to talk to you about what's going on over there or get some thoughts about that region?
Yeah, the best way to do that is to just email me directly. Email me at reportingfromisrael@gmail.com. That's reportingfromisrael, all one word, at gmail.com, and I will answer the questions.
Reporting from Israel@gmail.com. Now, we've talked certainly about what's going on in the Jewish part of that area, but what's happening in the Palestinian area? Certainly, my impression is the Palestinians are victims of their leaders. We're financing people there, to, a big army, we're a Palestinian army, which I believe one day will be used against Israel. We're financing leaders there who are not friends of Israel. But what's happening to the average Palestinian? Certainly, what's the unemployment rate? What's the attitude of the Palestinians? Of course, most of them are Muslims, but what's happening in the Muslim community of Israel?
Yeah, a lot's been going on. And again, to talk about the when Obama came to visit, he wanted to go to Ramallah and to Bethlehem to speak to the Palestinian people. And the Palestinian people have a tendency to listen to the news and take it for face value. So when Obama said, we are coming to stand with Israel, we are Israel's friend, they took that as, okay, they're Israel's friend, so they're not our friend. So before Obama actually even got into those towns and those cities, people were attacking the Americans that were coming over to set up for him. They would throw shoes, garbage at them, spit on them. They were burning tires. They were burning the American flags. They were burning effigies of Obama. They did not want him to come to Ramallah or Bethlehem. But he went anyway, and I thought, well, if he's going, then he's got to have a good reason, because otherwise he's not going to get out alive. And we found out that he went over there to give them some money. He decided to unblock some $500 million in aid to the Palestinian Authority.
Now, I think for our listeners, ladies and gentlemen, America doesn't have any money. We're having to borrow 1.5, well, let's say this last year, $1.1 trillion. We're having to borrow $1.1 trillion, and Obama's giving $500 million to the Palestinian government. What sort of madness is that? Where does he get off doing that? Where is the money coming from? Only just simply, we just borrow it. It doesn't make sense. We're being set up, of course, for a financial collapse here. But go right ahead, Sarah.
Okay, so the $500 million is something that they get all the time from us. So they unblock that money. But on top of that, they're going to give them $200 million for U.S. aid programs in the Palestinian Authority areas. And then John Kerry, the new Secretary of State, is fighting to give them $700 million more in aid. And now we know that the Arab League pledges to give them $100 million. The Palestinian Authority does not have many ways to make money. So the people don't have jobs. And the normal wage is between $300 and $500 a month. And most of these people have families of 8 to 15 children. How do they support their families? A lot of them are farmers. They work with olive groves. And a lot of them join the militia, because that's the only way that they can really make a living, is joining either Hamas or Fatah. So I go into the Palestinian areas, and I really feel sorry for the Palestinians, because they have it really bad. The kids are being taught, they have school books, and they're being taught in those school books a different history than what the history really is. They're being taught that Israel, the Jewish people, came to occupy their territory, and they need to fight them to win back their land. So little kids are learning this all the way as they grow up, so they're actually being brainwashed into fighting against the Jewish people. As I go in and talk to them, my job is to tell them about love, because, you know, a lot of them don't get it. And when you have 12, 15 kids in a family, there's very little love to go around from the parents. But I like going in there, and I take food, and I take clothing, and I want them to tell their story. What do they feel? What's going on? Many of them are frustrated with their lifestyle. They want out of it. A lot of them don't want the violence. A lot of them don't want to send their kids to become suicide bombers. And the men in the family, sometimes they're approached and told, if you become a suicide bomber, then we will give your family money for years to come, and you can't support your family, so you might as well blow yourself up, and that way you can take care of your family. And people do that. So what I go in, what I do is just go in there, and I tell them about, I have to tell them about the Lord. I'm a Christian, and I have to give them hope. There is a God of love that loves them, and my job is to tell them they are loved. There is hope. They don't have to blow themselves up. They can become doctors or lawyers. They can go to school. And now we have somebody teaching English to this one village. It was a pro-Palestinian village, and they're learning English, and some Jewish people are going in there. Some ladies are teaching them Hebrew. This town has changed. This town is wanting to make something of themselves. Their attitude has changed. I go in there, and I'm just treated so nice from these people because you work with them, you show them a little bit of love, and they want it. They don't hear that in the mosque. They don't read that in the Quran about a God of love. They read about taking over the land from the occupiers. They read about the violence, and so they're wanting to change. These people are coming to the Lord, and I'm not here to missionize, but when they ask me why I'm happy and why I'm doing those kind of things, I tell them why. And they say, well, I want that God of love, and I'm not going to stop them from taking them. And so sometimes I take them to the Jordan River, and it's by their request, and they want to be baptized. And I've baptized probably about 40 people now from these Palestinians. And when they get baptized, they go back and they tell their families, they tell their friends. Now, some of them have been killed because of it. Some of them have lost their families. A lot of them lose their jobs. But you know what? They found something better, and they found eternal life. They found love, and they are willing to risk telling their families, and they're the ones that they love, about the Lord and a God that loves them. And they don't have to live with hatred and violence all their lives. I see a change in the people, the everyday people. So it's a nice change. Now, the leaders don't like it, and these people will talk against leadership, the Palestinian Authority, and I have to be very careful about what I say about them. And when I write about them, I don't want to give their names, but they are doing a wonderful job. When they find the Lord, their lives change for the better. It's amazing what's going on there.
And, of course, this is the strength of Christianity. The wonderful thing about Christianity is it does offer people hope and love, and basically the whole of the Muslim faith is based upon fear. If you are a Muslim and you leave the religion, why, they will kill you, or certainly they will try to kill you. And certainly the women there certainly are all second-class citizens. Women have no rights. Do many of the Muslim men have several wives?
Yes, many of the men have several wives, and so they have maybe 8 children, 10 children with one wife, another 10 children with another wife. Now, this is not only happening in the Middle East. It's happening in America, too. It's happening in London, in England. Happening all over, wherever these Muslim people live and are following their Sharia law and living according to their culture, they're having a lot of children. But you know what I'm finding, what the best thing is that I'm finding, is when these people get baptized, when these people become Christians, they don't want to go fight the Jewish people. They don't want to hate the Jewish people anymore. They want to love the Jewish people. And what's really nice, I talked to my Jewish friend the other day, and she wants to meet one of them that I baptized in 2005. Because she's reading the book, The Son of Hamas, who was a son of a Hamas member, and he became a Christian, and his whole life changed. And she said, my gosh, I didn't know a Muslim can change and love the Jewish people. I want to meet one of them. So I'm going to introduce her to one of them, and they're just amazed how people can really change from the inside out. When God gets a hold of us, and he did it to me, I was a drug addict for 19 years, he changed my life from the inside out and gave me a love for people I didn't think I could love. The Arab people, I'm here with Jewish people, I'm here with people I don't know, and the Lord's given me a love for them. They want that love. And now the Jewish people are wanting to meet these Arab people that really care about them. So changing the world one person at a time is helping. It's a small drop in the bucket, I know. But you know what? It does change things. And so people are getting hope. They're getting more hope now.
And, of course, this is why Barbara, my wife, and I support Cheryl. We think she's doing a wonderful job over there. If we were younger, we'd like to do something like that. But God has given us a voice that is heard all over the world. And so we're going to continue doing what we're doing and know that Cheryl's over there. And suddenly, sort of, we like to look over her shoulder and see the exciting things she's doing. Well, if you have a question or comment, 1-888-24-LIBERTY. 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. Now, I hear that the unemployment rate over there in Israel, pardon me, in the Palestinian section, is some places almost 50%. Is that correct?
Yeah, that's very true. The people cannot get work there. As a matter of fact, I know a group of people that are sneaking into Israel proper just so they can make minimum wage, and they pay good money to the drivers because it's illegal to sneak into another area. When you're Palestinian, you're not supposed to cross over into the Jewish area. That's why they have checkpoints, and they have walls and fences, because some of them will sneak in to kill people. And so Israel's trying to control who comes into Israel proper. They do give thousands, hundreds of thousands of permits every month to the Palestinian people so they can come in and they can help do construction, work in the field, do any kind of work that they can. The women clean in houses. But I know this group of people that come in, they sneak in, they pay 300 shekels, which is like $75, to sneak in. They sleep under trees or in an abandoned building just so they can work for the full week. They work under the table, and then they take that money. They have to sneak back into the Palestinian area, and they take that money to their family. This is how they live. They're taking the risk of getting caught, put in prison, and being in a lot of trouble just to make minimum wage. So it's horrible. Life under Israeli authority is horrible. If you talk to Palestinians, and I've done this, I work with more Palestinians than I do with Jewish people or any other people, and I've been doing this for 14 years. So as I talk to the people, they say, we would rather live under Israeli's authority instead of the Palestinian authority. The Palestinian authority does not know how to run a government. They get so many millions of dollars, and they don't pass it on to the people. They don't build factories that we can work with. They said the money gets pocketed, the money goes to fighting against the Jewish people, but they don't see a country that's being built up, and now they want to have a Palestinian state. What are they going to do? How are they going to make money? How are they going to run? Their government members don't even make money. The government owes them money, so that's why some of the Arab League and other people are giving them millions of dollars so they can pay their government workers. There aren't many jobs there, and that's why I take food into these people. I take flour, you know, just staples. Rice, and sometimes I can buy cookies for the kids. I just want to make them smile. I take some toys, balloons, and just to see them laugh and smile and have food and give them toothbrushes. They share toothbrushes. Some of them don't even have eyeglasses. I didn't realize that some of them wanted Bibles. Well, I'd give them Bibles, but they couldn't read them because they didn't have glasses. They don't get their eyes tested. They're too poor. And I realized they picked up my glasses. They said, oh, I can read, I can see. And so I make sure the kids have glasses, reading glasses, and I take glasses into the people. The most simple things the Palestinian people don't get. They don't get health care. Their government does not pay to get the medical centers built up with good x-ray machines and all the medicine that they need, so they have to get permission to come into Israel and go to the hospitals of Israel. Israel's the one that takes care of them. Israel gives them electricity. Israel gives them water. How is this government supposed to run without help from Israel? These people are really poor, and I feel sorry for them, but they're learning. They're learning about love. And so my job to me is very important, not just to be a journalist, but to be a human being and to go in and love them no matter who they are or what color they are.
And basically, of course, terrible tragedy there in the Palestinian part of Israel, and basically... But the average individual doesn't understand that the impossible situation that the Muslims there find themselves in. And if you want to certainly leave the Muslim faith, it is perfectly acceptable for them to kill you. I mean, we're not talking about something imaginary. We're talking something about real. And basically, you are a Muslim. You have to pray 5 times a day. You have to fast during the month of Ramadan or the week of Ramadan. Basically, jihad means Muslims to take over control of the world. This is what they're taught. And of course, they are taught to hate the Israelis, and they're taught to become suicide bombers. They're taught so they'll be rewarded if they'll simply kill themselves to kill off some Israelis. And what are we doing? We're giving countless millions of dollars to the Palestinians to fight the Israelis, and then we subsidize the Israelis. It's almost as if we're financing both sides in this war that is not going to end, this conflict that's not going to end, I don't believe, until the Lord returns. Well, basically, are there a lot of people over there who see that we're living in prophetic times? You made that statement. Certainly, I believe we're living in prophetic times. Do some of the people over there, do the Orthodox Jews recognize this at all? Do they believe in any of the prophecies that the Christians believe in?
Oh, wow. Yes. I mean, they have the same Bible. We call it the Old Testament. I call it the First Testament, because those prophecies, biblical prophecies, are coming to pass. And there are so many people living in all over Israel, in Judea and Samaria, and the world will call that the West Bank. And they say Israel's occupying the Palestinian territory. It's not Palestinian territory. There is no place called Palestine. It's called Israel. And people have moved in. They call them settlers. Well, when you settle in a land, your name is a settler. So there's people that believe that God had given this land to the Jewish people. Actually, they were given the land again in 1948. So these people are putting their lives on the line building villages, building houses in the so-called West Bank, Judea and Samaria, and they're putting their lives in danger because they believe that these are the last times and that they are to occupy the land as God had given them. And I went to a press conference where there was a man who knows the law, and he was talking about who owns the property here in Israel. The Israelis own it. The Israelis own the Temple Mount. Yet Moshe Dayan, in 1967, gave the keys to the walks. The Jordanians were running it, and they left the Muslims to run the Temple Mount. That doesn't mean it belongs to them. It belongs to Israel. Israel could take that back at any time. But if they do, the world would be against them if they would kick off the Muslim people. Now, they have mosques on top of the Temple Mount, but the Jewish people are starting to go there by the thousands. They want to go and pray to their God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, just like in the old days, and now they're coming under fire when they get up there. They're being blocked from going up on the Temple Mount. They're having rocks thrown at them, firebombs thrown at them. There's been so many cases of problems. They want to go and do as the Bible says, to worship God in Jerusalem. And the closest they can get to where the temple was is on the Temple Mount, to the Western Wall. Now, the Palestinians want to take that Western Wall away. They say that's the place where when Muhammad came to Jerusalem, he tied his donkey at the Western Wall. So for the Jews to pray there, it defiles the Muslim holy place. It's 3,000 years old, that capital of Jerusalem. The Jewish people were there. The archaeologists are proving it. And so the prophecies are these Jewish people that are coming back, their prophecy. Some of the Russian Jews don't even know that they are fulfilling prophecy by coming back to the land. But the Lord says, I'm going to bring them from the north, south, east, and west. And some of these Jewish people don't read the Bible, but when they come and we show them in the Bible, you're part of prophecy, they start crying.
Hold that thought. Hold the thought.
We are part of prophecy.
Go right ahead, Cheryl. We've got about 3 minutes for you to wrap it up. Go right ahead. You're just saying that certainly when they come, we're seeing the fulfillment of prophecy as people from all over the world, from the north, from the south, from the east and the west, the people are returning to the Holy Land. Go ahead.
Yes, and the people are returning to the Holy Land, and they're trying to hold on to the land that they were given by the Lord years ago, and they are risking their lives and their families' lives to do that. So the prophecies are being fulfilled. Now, we have Holocaust Memorial Day coming up on Sunday night. It starts, and we still have, in Israel, there are still 192,000 survivors, Holocaust survivors, living in Israel today. The average age of them is 84, and there's about 37 that die every single day. Now, the Palestinian people, the Muslim people around the world are trying to say the Holocaust never happened. It has happened, and the Lord brought those people back. They want their own homeland, because they don't want that to happen again. They have a place to go now. During the Holocaust, when they were dispersed and they were being killed, they had no homeland. They have a homeland, and it's their old homeland that God gave them years ago, and it's being fulfilled again. So they're coming back, and they're coming back to stay.
Well, basically, certainly, is the economy holding up as far as the jobs are concerned, production? Is things any better for the average Israeli there? My understanding, you commented that things are terribly, terribly expensive. But what about the jobs for the Jewish people?
Yeah, jobs are not that, the economy isn't all that great. It's better than it is in America. Now, like I said, there's a new government, and there are government members that are working on the economy. I don't know if you all know, and the people in the West know, that Israel has invented so many things. Even the SIM card that goes inside of our cell phones, Israel invented that. They are very high-tech. We have a Silicon Valley in California. Well, they have a Silicon Valley here near Tel Aviv. They are a growing industry. In 65 years, I believe they're going to be, 65 years old this year, they have invented so many things, and they make money. They have exports of flowers, just like the Bible says. In prophecy, it says they're going to export fruit and flowers across the world, and that's what they're doing. In the late 1800s, there wasn't any flowers. It was a barren land, is what Mark Twain said. Who would want to ever live here? But the Jews have made it into a flourishing land. I know with God's help he did. And now they're making good money here. So the economy, it's hurting, but it's getting better, and they're working on it. People would rather live here than in other places and work on building their own country here in Israel.
Well, I think it's amazing. I've seen pictures, certainly, of what Israel looked like, and the area surrounding Jerusalem, certainly 100 years ago. And, of course, basically, it was just the Americans, there was a very famous American. There was a very famous American that went to Israel many, many years ago, and basically there were pictures painted of Israel 100 years ago, and it was all barren around Jerusalem. Today it's lush. I mean, it's amazing transformation of that land by the Jews going back there. The Arabs didn't do this. Certainly that was never their idea, simply to create a lush farmland, but the Israelis have done that. They planted forests, and really a total transformation of that part of the world. Well, we're going to let you go, Cheryl. One more time, I want you to get your address out, your email address, so people can contact you.
Okay, my email address is reportingfromisrael@gmail.com. It's all one word, reportingfromisrael@gmail.com. And one last thought, Israel is now out of the drought. The Sea of Galilee is higher than ever before that I've ever seen it. It's beautiful. And they found the gas fields from Tamar Field is running. Israel is advancing. And God is definitely blessing this land. So if we want to be on God's side, we need to be praying for the peace of Jerusalem.
God bless you. Thanks very much, Cheryl. And we'll talk to you next month.
Thank you.
Good night.
Sure.
God bless. Okay, that was Cheryl Hancock calling from Jerusalem on early on Friday morning. Well, this is the time when I need to remind our listeners that my ministry, Radio Liberty, primarily listener-supported, and if you're in a position to help us, our telephone number is 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. If you're not in a position to help us, we ask you to pray for my ministry, Radio Liberty, for our provision and our protection. Now, how do we understand what's going on, certainly in Israel today? How do we understand what's really going on in the world today? Well, we have a wonderful DVD series. It's called The Final Countdown, put together by our good friend, Pastor Billy Crone. And they're basically... we have parts 1, 2, 3, 4, and 5. There's 6 parts. 6 parts not available yet. And each part, there are 5 DVDs. It's called The Final Countdown, and it simply points out the prophetic things that are happening in the world today. And it starts out with the reconstitution of the State of Israel and all the prophecies, for instance, that the country would be established and reestablished after almost 2,000 years. The language would be Hebrew. Hebrew had been a forgotten language until Israel came back to the land. And then, of course, the currency would be a shekel. And you go down, there are 10 or 12 prophecies that have all come to pass. In fact, so much of what's going on today is the fulfillment of prophecies, and that's why this DVD set we offer, I think, is so vitally important. So basically, Pastor Crone, it's not simply a series of lectures, but Pastor Crone has all sorts of wonderful film footage. I don't know where he gets it, but it makes it so much easier to watch and to believe and to understand. So that's The Final Countdown. You can get one DVD set with 5 DVDs in it. That's part 1 or part 2. It has 5 DVDs, or 3, 4, or 5. And I'm really looking forward to part 6, but you can get them by calling 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. And then, if you really want to understand the prophetic significance of what's going on today, you need to read my book, Brotherhood of Darkness, because, of course, we'll take you into the secret societies that go back 4,000 years, even a little longer than that, of course, to the time of Nimrod and the temple there built in Babylon. And then, of course, it brings this through the ages. If you look at the logo for the Trilateral Commission, you'll see in the center of it an upside-down broken cross that is an emblem of the ancient mystery religions. Why would the Trilateral Commission that controls the United States today have that as their logo? Go to their website, trilateral.org. And remember, between 1977 and the year 2008, every president and or vice president came from the 80 members of that little organization. Do you think that happened by accident? 6 of the 8 presidents of the World Bank, including our present one, came from that site. Ladies and gentlemen, nothing as it appears to be. And, of course, the Trilateral Commission is the modern-day manifestation of the ancient secret societies. Our number, 1-800-544-8927, 1-800-544-8927. Please pray for Radio Liberty, our provision and protection.
Ladies and gentlemen, to the Power Hour Radio Show. You're in the right place. Class is about to convene. Again, Power Hour. It's all about empowering you to be the healthiest, the smartest, the most aware, the most spiritual that you can possibly be. That's our goal at the Power Hour, and hopefully that is your goal also. And as you continue to listen to the Power Hour, you'll become more discerning when it comes to the alleged news, the alleged news on television. Can't believe what is going on with North Korea. Shocking beyond belief. We'll get into the story about what is happening, but it has been ratcheted up another notch. By whom? I'll let you decide that. And on television, whenever they start showing all of the